You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to all the action on Saturday at Newmarket, as that venue takes centre stage with the Sun Chariot Stakes, Redcar, Ascot, Fontwell and Wolverhampton also hosting the action. You can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Alex Dunn, Alistair Jones and Andrew Mount. But for now, my name's John Gibby, and to look ahead to Saturday, I'm joined by Craig Forsyth. Craig, how's it going?
Yeah, all very good, thanks, John. And yourself?
I'm very well, thank
good,
you.
Good, very good.
Looking forward to Saturday's action and to looking ahead to it here with you. And we'll talk about the feature race of the day in a short while, Craig. But first of all, let's get your NAP and Next Best selections for Saturday, starting off with your NAP, which I understand runs at Redcar.
It does, yes. We've obviously got some very good cards and competitive cards at Ascot and Newmarket, as you discussed there, John. But I'm going up to Redcar for the best bet of the day in their 2-year-old trophy. They always get the maximum number of runners for this race, which is 23. And it's very competitive once again. But there's a filly here on her last two runs that absolutely stands out for me. And that's Richard Farhi's Dakana. A horse that certainly caught the eye in the valuable sales race 2 starts back at York over 6 furlongs. You know, got detached in the early part of that race behind Tangled and was seen to good effect running on really strongly in the closing stages there. A huge step up in class followed that run, John, and she took in the Cheverly Park at Newmarket last week, where again, you know, she wasn't disgraced. Beaten only 4 lengths behind Aidan O'Brien's Clemmy, who, you know, once again was very impressive with her effort in the closing stages of that race. And, you know, stepping back from Group 1 company into a listed race, she's a standout. And, you know, at the time of recording, I think 92 is value because, you know, despite the numbers, you know, rated 104, if she runs to the same level as we've seen on her last 2 starts, she is going to be very, very difficult to beat. And, you know, what we're looking at is, you know, 2-year-olds that have all been fairly exposed in terms of having several runs this season. So there's not a huge amount you would expect to take big steps forward from the evidence that we've seen on the track so far this campaign. So, you know, all points to Dakana. I think 92 will come under pressure. I think, you know, as the morning progresses, I think she will, you know, have plenty of supporters behind her, and I think, you know, she could go off along the lines of 5-2, 11-4, given the form of her last 2 starts.
She's 9-2, as you've mentioned, in this maximum field of 23. Do you think this is one of those cases where the price of the favourite is slightly inflated due to the size of the field?
Indeed, definitely. I mean, I think looking through the official ratings, I think the second best was the De Bruyne horse at 98, who showed good form in the early part of the campaign. But, you know, I think it's been a case of the other 2-year-olds grown and catching up with him. And his form's just tailed off a little bit now. And, you know, he comes here with questions to answer after failing to beat a rival home on his last 2 starts at Sandown and at Doncaster last time. So, you know, he's a 16-1 chance, but, you know, he's not in the same form as he was in the early part of the campaign.
You mentioned ratings. Dakana is £6 clear of De Bruyne horse on the official ratings, but of course receives a weight as a filly. Also on De Bruyne horse, interesting to see. It's so promising at the beginning of the season. You know, there were a couple of runs. I remember one was at Epsom where he ran really, really well. As if wearing the second choice colours of Middleton Park Racing in this race. So it looks to be their second string in the race.
Yeah, it's not something I would look too much into, to be honest, in terms of the colour second and third colours. We'll see it often from the bigger yards where the white and red caps of Godolphin are successful, particularly at the back end. But as you said, John, he was, you know, very, very impressive when he won the Woodcote Stakes at Epsom on Derby Day. But he's, you know, his form has dipped and dipped several notches on recent evidence. And he needs to pick up the pieces again now to get back to the level we've seen him at in the springtime.
So, Dark Honey, your nap selection for Saturday the 3:20 at Redcar, their listed race, 2-year-old trophy. What about your next best?
A little bit more competitive and a little bit more tricky. But there could be some value with it in terms of the price and in terms of the race. And it's Arcanada in the 3:35 at Ascot. A heritage handicap, horse trained by Tom Daskin, drawn in stall 16. The main concern I have with the horse is, can he carry out front-running tactics at Ascot? You know, that is the big danger. But, you know, turning back to his penultimate run at York, that for me is by far the standout recent effort here in terms of horse's recent form. He was drawn on the inside. He set a really strong gallop under Paddy Piley in the early stages of that race. And at the three pole, you know, he put a good 3 to 4 lengths between himself and his rivals. And he was taking on solid handicappers, you know, when the pace was increasing. And he lengthened a good part clear. He did pay the price for that effort when Chief of Chiefs just nailed him in the final strides. But you look at the horses that came from off the pace, and you have to think Arcanada, you know, produced a massive performance to sustain his effort for as long as he did in a really competitive race. And, you know, only found 1-2 good at the line. Obviously, you know, you will need ridden with a little bit more restraint. But when you look at the pace map for this race, John, there's little competition in the way of front runners. And he could just find himself getting an uncontested, easy lead here. And that could take him a long way. And I think at 16-1, he'll run a real big race.
Since that run at York in that handicap, he's finished eighth. Is this a Turkish Group 2?
It was a Turkish Group 2, yeah.
How do you interpret that form?
Well, we don't. We just put a line through, John. Keep it simple. Just get out the big black marker and put a line through. Quinny, Sean, speaking to him about the horse prior to recording this podcast, did say, you know, he got himself all worked up prior to that run in Turkey. And he says, just ignore it. But, you know, I wasn't reading anything into it before that. So it was interesting to hear Sean's comments regarding the run in Turkey. But, you know, he's coming back to these shores at Ascot in a handicap off a mark, you know, that he could still be competitive off.
Arcanada, the next best selection of Craig Forsyth. 3:35 at Ascot is the race. He's currently priced up at 16-1 with us here at William Hill. Well, those are your Napa Next Best selections there, Craig. Now, let's take a look at the feature race of the day. There's the Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket off at 2:40, of course, over a mile for the fillies and mares aged 3 and above. This is an interesting race because quite often it's an interesting one in terms of the runners that turn up, but in terms of the quality, it sometimes gets a bit of slack. But the fact that it is a Group 1, it doesn't often seem to be much of a Group 1.
Yeah, I did say to Stephen, I was pulling his leg a little bit and being the on-course commentator at Newmarket saying, you know, how has this race been able to keep its Group 1 status? And, you know, he quickly shot me down in flames despite only joking, saying, well, we've got a dual Group 1 winner this year in Roly Poly. So that was a fair argument in return. For me, taking the mickey a little bit out the status of this race. But I entirely agree with your thoughts. You know, it does obviously come under a little bit of pressure, but it looks a good renewal this year, has to be said. You know, we've got horses that have showed form in Group 1 races this year. So certainly a couple, anyway, at the front of the market. And Kemar, the French Raider as well, has been running consistently well.
So would Kemar be your selection in the race? Currently priced up at 6-1.
Probably I'd have to go with Roly Poly. I know she was disappointing last time at Leopardstown, where she finished behind the likely favourite for the race, Persuasive. But, you know, prior to that, she had looked good in France, and she'd won the Falmouth Stakes in really good fashion at Newmarket. I think she's versatile regarding the ground, but being a filly by Warfront, you know, the more it dries out, the stronger her claims will become. And, you know, as we record this, we are, or certainly the course are, predicting good ground. And that would be absolutely ideal for Rolly Polly to bounce back from a below par blip at Leopardstown last time.
Of course, Rolly Polly did win a Group 1 at 2, but she wasn't really one of the leading lights for Ballydoyle leading into the season as a three-year-old. And she's gone on to do great things, run very well in a whole string of Group 1s so far this year. Do you think, I mean, maybe unusually considering she's a Wolfrun, she's just progressed through the year to improve and now become a solid Group 1 horse in, you know, older company?
Indeed. You know, a lot of people are now waiting for the Warfront progeny reappearing at three and failing badly, given, you know, the horses that have failed to progress. But, you know, as we should look at each horse individual, you know, and give each horse its chance. And as you say, John, this is a horse that has progressed. And, you know, after finishing second in the Coronation Stakes to the Star Filly Winter, she deserved to go and pick up a Group 1 prize. And she not only picked up one, she picked up two with a second victory in France. So, yes, you know, she's progressed. You know, that was... That blip at Leopardstown last time came after a break. She missed the whole of August, you know, and that 5 weeks off might have just found her out last time.
Funny race as well, that Matron Stakes at Leopardstown, wasn't it? With Ranger coming through to pick up the pieces.
Indeed, it was. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't take that race completely at face value. And I think she's much better judged on the level of form she showed in France at Deauville and prior to that in Newmarket.
She's currently priced up at 9-2 for the Group 1 Sun Chariot Stakes for us here at William Hill. Persuasive, the 9-4 favourite. Jazzy is 6-1, same price for Kima. Usherette is 7-1. What happened to Usherette? See if she can get back on track tomorrow as well. See You Shake, 10-1. Muffery House, 14-1, 16-1, and bigger for the rest. But you can hear that live on William Hill's Racing Radio, in addition to all the rest of the action on Saturday, live from 1:20 p.m. And there'll be another Daily Racing podcast tomorrow, of course. But that's it for today. Craig, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you, John. Let's hope we have a winner or two along the way.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.